12:02. McMonagle here with you on another special edition 5 hour midnight ride. We didn't know it was going to happen. The heavens opened, and here I am. Lucky you. I got you for 5 hours all the way to the warm up show. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Fliegelman on the other side. And again, a revised schedule and brand new edition of the Midnight Ride as we get till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. And obviously, following that Met loss, let's lead with the Mets because that's a disappointing loss. Yet again, a couple of things that have been trending in a certain direction bite the Mets yet again as they lose 6-3 to the Rockies last night. There you go. Music stings out. They lose 6-3 to the Rockies last night. They are now 2-3 to start this road trip, which is unacceptable against the teams they played so far. Yes, they had a bounce-back win off of the two losses in Anaheim against St. Louis yesterday. The offense scored some runs. Manaea was brilliant. But you cannot lose this game to the Rockies with Severino on the mound. You can't lose 2-3 to start this important road trip out west against lousy teams. As this month, we've talked about how important this month is, how important this stretch is. And as you see, you know, Arizona rained out. You lost a game to the two of them. Atlanta's been awful, so you're still a game and a half back of that last wild card. But this is where the Mets need to win these games. You cannot lose to the Rockies. And this feast or famine offense that has been, since the All-Star break, you know, the month of June, when they were building up this record and padding up all these wins, the offense was spectacular, right? The offense top to bottom, you know, throughout the lineup, all these guys over 700 OPS, everyone having career years, Iglesias, Vientos, I've said it a bunch, how this offense really impressed you. And it looked like top to bottom, one of the best offenses in the sport, especially with Lindor, who had a terrible game last night. But Lindor and Nimmo, who loves it, loves hitting in Colorado. Lindor and Nimmo at the top of that order, when that switch was made, this offense really took off. And I know we spent a lot of time on Pete Alonso last night, but save him having a good year, everybody else has been having this great year. But since the All-Star break, this offense, again last night, 2-7 with runners in scoring position, have been the problem. And yes, the other because they have either feasted or famine. They have scored a ton of runs in a couple of games, but other than that, they haven't really scored here. You've seen guys slump and cool off, and you're seeing this team's inability to come through with the big hit, and last night was the perfect example because this game changed a bunch of different ways. Obviously, the third inning where Severino gives up, the fourth inning, when Severino gives up the three runs, including the home run to Jake Cave, who was traded from the Yankees to Minnesota for Luis Gil, was a former Yankee farmhand, but he comes through with that Rockies home run at Coors Field, and they get the three runs, and Severino is the other talking point of this game, and you're starting to worry about Severino here because he is supremely important. And it was just a few weeks ago where the discussion was whether or not you should trade Severino, whether or not there was a buy-sell mentality going on in the Met front office. And we talked about how important Severino is to this team and how he is, and certainly now without Senga, the ace of this staff. And he is someone who's, to me, I didn't want to move him. I wanted to keep him because I want to win with this group and I need this starting rotation that has been a pleasant surprise all year. A starting rotation that was supposed to be the biggest liability on this team to start the year, that kept them afloat in many ways while the offense floundered at the beginning of the year. And you're seeing certain guys turn it on, and you've seen other guys come up, Peterson come up, be serviceable, you know, and obviously now Manaea's last two starts have been just flat out brilliant. And, you know, young kids come up and Scott and pitch well, and Severino at times look like an ace. But the problem is now, as you look at Severino, and I know his velocity was back up today, he hit 99 miles an hour on the radar gun. But the thing with Severino now is just flat out, and we talked about it after his last start, the innings and what he's approaching, what he's already done this year that he hasn't done since 2018. I mean, we are talking about an extensive jump in anything he's done for the last 5 years. And watching him last night, yes, the velocity was up, but to me, you could tell, and he talked about it in the postgame, his breaking ball wasn't what he needed it to be. I thought his location isn't where you want it. Now, could he muster up some velocity after knowing his velocity was down in his last start? Sure. But the fact of the matter is he's too important. We talked about it yesterday with Alonso, how if you look back at if we take this and fast forward to the end of the year and we look at Pete Alonso and we say he's still as insignificant at the end of the year as he's been over the last month, that the Mets aren't going to be where they want to be. And the same thing with Severino. If Severino is going to be what we've seen over the last two starts, whether it be velocity down, whether it not having his good location, his good ride on his fastball, his good breaking ball, whatever the case may be, if he is not going to be the pitcher that you could put at the top of a rotation. And I know that's a lot to ask, especially coming off, like I just said, the innings since 2018, last year's debacle that was his season with the Yankees, and the flyer they took on him to now thrust upon him, hey, he's the top of this rotation. He's extremely imperative. As Severino goes, so go the Mets. But that's where we are. And he wasn't brutal in this game, but still, to get through five innings, five runs, and have the inability to locate his breaking ball. This is back-to-back starts. You have not seen the best of Severino. And considering how important he is, considering how many innings he's already at, this is a very concerning moving forward, because if Severino isn't what he was the last, five starts prior to the last two, again, I think it's going to be a tough time for this Mets team to make it where they want to go with a surging San Diego Padres team and a surging Arizona Diamondbacks team. And then you get to the offense again, where this game early on, Harrison Bader, who's been great, another one of these names that you throw into the having career year pile that the Mets have stacked up over the last 2 months. And Bader comes through with a big hit, gives them a 2-0 lead in this game early on. And it feels like, all right, here we go, right? The good performance off St. Louis. You score some runs there. You break out of your slump. You move the lineup back to normal after the tweak against St. Louis. But you get the big hit from Tyrone Taylor. Breaks the game open. Bader got you on the board early in that game as well. 2-0 over the lousy Rockies, and you start to feel good. And then, obviously, Severino gives up the 3 runs in the fourth. And suddenly you come through with a couple of big spots here. And to me, the game is the Winker double play. The Winker double play, where you have first and third, one out. The manager decides to pinch hit for Winker. And Winker, on the first pitch, hits a double play. And that just felt like, well, here it is. Here's the opportunity for the Mets to come through. Here's the opportunity to get back into this game. Here's the opportunity to get into a lousy Colorado bullpen that was able to shut you down for the last 4 innings of this game. You got Justin Lawrence with his 5.8 ERA, Kinley with a 6.61 ERA. I mean, this bullpen for Colorado has been one of the worst in baseball. They're terrible, and they come through with big opportunities here. They get the base, they get a double, they get a base hit, they get first and third. Nimmo gives you another 2-hit night. He kills it in this ballpark, and they pinch hit Winker. And now Mendoza has had the Midas touch, and everything he's touched, he moves Taylor to this 2-hole yesterday. He comes up in the big spot with the bases loaded and comes through. And in this spot, he decides to go to Winker relatively early on in this game against the right-handed pitcher. And on the first pitch, he hits into that double play, and that's where the game is. The next inning, same spot for Martinez. He's got second and third, two outs, and he hits a soft little ground ball to second base to get out of the inning. Those two spots is where the game is won and lost for this Met team. And this is where they either pound and score a bunch of runs, or they struggle to come through with the big hit. A nice play out in the outfield by Cave again to make sure that it's second and third in that inning when Martinez is at a double play. The ground ball to end the inning with two outs, as opposed to letting the run score. They played good defense. McMahon was incredible at third base in this game. You get the wonky play from Vientos. The defense was better for Colorado than it was for the Mets, and they came through in the big spots, and the Mets did not. And this offense if you take away that second game against the Yankees and the first game against Minnesota, and maybe yesterday against St. Louis, they have really done nothing offensively since the All-Star break. And they have been another night where they're 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. And they came through with the game on the line in two spots and Winker hits into the double play, and Martinez, who's been slumping now for a while, who is as important a player for the Mets over that, you know, that first month, the walk-off home run against Miami, the, you know, his emergence at the beginning of June was as important as anything on this team, as important as Lindor. I mean, Lindor's kept it longer and was better, but it felt like Martinez was the one who really got them out of it. He's been slumping for a while now. He can't come through. Winker, who they brought here and there, working him easy into the outfield, however many innings he's been playing, they're trying to get him up to speed. Someone, the one bat they've added, he comes in and pinch hits into a double play. Those were the two spots in this game where the Mets have come through over the last month or so, and since the All-Star break, they have not. They have been the worst team in baseball this side of the White Sox with runners in scoring position, and it came to bite them again, even against one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And even in the ninth, with Vodnik, who dominated them the first time around earlier in the season, came in and was behind everybody. And Bader gets a hard hit to third base for the force, and that was about it. 3-1 to Bader, and he is unable to come through, hits one to McMahon, who was incredible at third base last night. And this Met team continues to struggle with runners in scoring position. And when you look at it now, right, the bullpen you're feeling a little bit better than. Brazoban came through and was much better. Two innings, six up, six down. The addition to the bullpen, he's starting to round into shape there. The, you know, Beto and what he's been in the weapon there. Diaz is starting to feel better. The bullpen is kind of coming around. Reed Garrett threw an inning in rehab assignment, so he could be on his way back. Reed Foley could be on his way back. So the bullpen's starting to round into shape a little bit. But this offense has come back to earth, and it's, you know, it's probably unfair. And I talked about this at the trade deadline when I wanted to continue to add to the rotation. I wanted to add to the bullpen because it's unfair to ask this offense to continue to roll the way it was rolling in June when they were as dynamic an offense in the sport. Like, they weren't as bad. They're probably not as bad as they were, like most teams. They aren't as bad as they were to start the year, and they aren't as good as they were as they were driving this record back up to respectability. They're somewhere in the middle, and you knew they were going to cool off. And Lindor, with three strikeouts last night, 0-for-4, he was eventually going to cool off. Nimmo, who got hot here in Colorado, he loves hitting in this ballpark, he's cooled off. Martinez cooled off. Vientos cooled off. Like, eventually, this lineup was not going to be this dominant as it was for that month. And that's why not only is it's troubling, not because it's just not dominant, it's because in the big spots they're coming up small over and over and over again now for 2 weeks. And then you look at the rotation, and yes, Manaea has been incredible over the last two starts, but you've been dealing with some injuries. You lose Senga, which was a gut punch, and now Severino coming off the biggest jump in innings of his career, and something you're asking a veteran pitcher to now sort of, you know, sustain himself. There's going to be ups and downs. Even if he figures it out, even if the velocity is back, it's still a strain on his arm that he hasn't experienced in 2018. So when you look at it and you see the Arizona Diamondbacks surging, and you see the Padres and what they did at the trade deadline and the way they're playing, and yes, the Atlanta Braves have fallen back to the pack. They are now the third wild card, a half a game behind both of those teams. But right now, the Mets a game and a half behind. You can't start this road trip, and it ends. It starts with this 10-game road trip out west against lousy teams, and it ends with a 4-game set against San Diego and a 3-game set against Arizona at the end of the month. You have to pad your wins here against these bad teams. You can't go into Anaheim and lose 2 of 3. You can't start a series against Colorado and not be able to come through against one of the worst bullpens in baseball with your quote-unquote ace on the mound and lose the opening night to Colorado. These are losses the Mets can't afford. These are losses the Mets did not build themselves enough of a cushion to overcome. These are wins that they have to bank as they move forward this month, because you know what? Maybe as they were winning and as they were right there with that 4-game set against Atlanta, and I go back to that moment because I remember working with Sean that afternoon talking about after the Thursday night win, Friday, heading into the weekend, how important it was to make a statement against the Braves and how important it was to win that series. They win that Friday night, and then that weekend against the Braves, you are talking about being right there to be the top wild card. The top wild card. And since then, they lost those last two to the Braves, and now they've started this road trip off the way they've started it, and everybody else is winning. And what once looked like maybe you could get in with 83, 84 wins as the Diamondbacks and Corbin Carroll and the rest of the cast was floundering, and now all of a sudden they've caught fire, and Jock Peterson's playing like he did in 2021 with the Braves down the stretch of the season. I mean, it looked like a clear-cut path for the Mets to make the playoffs. And now you look at it, and it's, well, Severino's struggling. Severino's at an innings limit that he hasn't been anywhere near since 2018. Concerned about him. Concerned about that rotation without Senga. Senga's no longer coming back. That happened. Now he's gone for the rest of the year. Who knows about Scott? Who knows about this rotation? Blackburn's going to get a second start as a Met. The first one was positive. We'll see if he could provide some sort of spark. But you got Severino not only struggling, but major concerns about him pitching this deep into a season. You've got an offense that brought them and dragged them back into this thing, floundering, struggling, all those hot hitters cooled off, and an offense that can't come through with a hit in a big spot. The two things driving this team to that record, driving them to that point against Atlanta, where they were right there to become the first wild card, now have major question marks, and they are a game and a half behind two of the hottest teams in baseball. A game and a half behind Atlanta, two games behind two of the hottest teams in baseball in Arizona and San Diego. And what seemed like a spot secured for the Mets inside this wild card suddenly seems as up in the air as it has in the last month. And that's a brutal loss last night, and they have got to figure out a way. There's no excuse. These are two must wins. You cannot lose this series to the lousy Rockies. You can't lose it. The next two nights are now must wins for the New York Mets. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So this offense has got to figure it out with runners in scoring position. This rotation, you know, has got to figure it out if Severino's going to have a problem here and fade down the stretch. And this team that was right there on the precipice of becoming the first wild card is now hanging on for dear life. 888-808-1019. We can talk a little Yankees as they were rained out against the lousy Angels. Doubleheader tomorrow. We can get into the real... I want to get into the real question because I sense this is a thing with fans. What do the Yankees do with Jason Dominguez? I think that's a real question mark right now, and we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show. And, of course, we'll get into Giants camp, another fight-filled practice against the Lions, and Malik Nabers making a case. Everybody's talking about Malik Nabers already showing that he could be one of the dominant forces inside the NFL.